Doug Hirsch, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Okay, if you want to keep talking about the Rocket Classic and its time in Detroit coming to an end, and how come the state of Michigan cannot support a PGA Tour event consistently? I mean, they come and they go, and this is another example. It's kind of strange given the popularity of golf in our state. But, I mean, I think every state probably in every tournament has its challenges, but for whatever reason, we can't seem to get one that sticks. With that in mind, Scott, this weekend went to Chicago. The Bears moving to Hammond, Indiana might be one of the biggest disasters in terms of NFL relocations ever, in my opinion. I can't believe that this is actually on the table. And I'm sure that whatever stadium gets built in Hammond, which the scales are tipping pretty dramatically towards this being the relocation site, it's probably going to be a gorgeous stadium, okay? Mm-hmm. It's going to be state-of-the-art, et cetera, et cetera, unless they somehow screw it up and build a stadium like the White Sox did, which was sort of the last cookie-cutter, boring stadium before baseball started to retrofit and go with old-school stadiums with a ton of character. It's like the White Sox built something that was immediately out of date. I remember the White Sox were going to leave for, I think it was St. Pete. Remember how that whole thing and the White Sox got pushed through the Illinois House at the last minute and blah, 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 because the White Sox were on their way to Florida. Well, now the Bears, and they still could get saved and stay in Illinois. But we drove there this weekend, and Friday night we drove through downtown Hammond. And I want to be as respectful as I can be. But I sent you guys some pictures that were no exaggerations. It's unbelievable to me that an NFL team might be in that location. It's unbelievable.
Well, it looks pretty desolate. However, I'm going to guess that, let's say they do move there and build the stadium and they're playing football there in 3 years. I would guess that 10 years from now, that whole area is going to look completely different.
Well, it might. This happened here, of course, when the Lions moved out to Pontiac and the Pistons moved out to Auburn Hills. I don't remember that there were a ton of places outside those stadiums, the stadium, the Silverdome and the Palace, that a whole bunch of cool businesses popped up. The Post across the street from the Palace was kind of it. There was another spot just down the road. I think it was called Hoops.
Yeah, Hoops is still there. It's still there.
People drove in and drove out. There weren't destinations outside of the stadium.
Right, but it also isn't an 80,000 or 60,000 seat stadium.
Silverdome
was 80,000, yeah, for sure. And there was stuff around there. I mean, it was...
Yeah, you know. There was, but it felt like it was surrounded by industrial parks and storage facilities.
Without question.
And, I mean, Hammond is...
Refinery City,
and it's pretty barren. And it was funny because the news broke during Friday's show that they were moving steps closer to moving to Hammond, and so we've had fun with it. But honestly, it's a disaster. And driving through Hammond, like there were news crews live at the corner bar in the parking lot doing live shots from Hammond as we drove through.
Didn't that corner bar just hit the real estate lottery, by the way?
Yes. I thought it would be funny if we pulled over and I'm like, let me try to be man on the street and pretend I'm a Chicago area guy. You know, I could say Doug Karsh, Naperville, or just Schaumburg, make something up and pretend I'm man on the street, because the news crews were going live from Hammond, and I'm like, cool, this is an awesome spot right next to the underpass. And It's unbelievable. If I were a Bears fan, and we've laughed about this, this would be one of the absolute most depressing things that could happen to your organization. And as a fan of a team. Additionally, okay, coming back Sunday night, and I imagine that there's a good portion of our audience, and we've talked about this, but we kind of got to experience it in real time. Between downtown Chicago and where the stadium would be built, which is kind of in a lakefront area, an inland lake in Hammond, that if you've driven the Skyway, which is the toll road that cuts off 94 and makes sort of a straight line through Hammond and Gary and through the southern south suburbs of Chicago into the city, there are two toll booths. There's one before the bridge that takes you into Indiana, and there's one beyond it. These are done with credit cards. Now you pay with credit card, and there is the easy pass lane. Okay. Now I imagine most people in the Chicago area will have an easy pass and can pull through. But the backup to the second toll booth was 45 minutes. We sat in traffic for 45 minutes, and you go, oh, easy pass, easy pass. Here's the thing. The backup was so lengthy that even the easy pass people had to wait till you got close enough to the toll booth where everybody paying got over. And then the easy pass people could, it was saving them like 5 minutes. They were in line for 40 minutes while the rest of us are in line for 45 minutes. And the whole credit card system is so slow now. Like, they're going to have to figure something out so that, because traffic, everybody's going to take the Skyway. It's going to be a nightmare, an absolute nightmare.
So they're talking, have they determined the actual site, or are they just discussing it could be by Wolf Lake?
Wolf Lake is what is the reporting. That'll okay. Be right on the southern end of Wolf Lake.
The southern end. Okay. So I have a map up and I just want to see what that is. Okay. I think logistically, initially, it could be a nightmare, but you've got 3 years to figure it out once they
do
agree to it. The fact that the site is by a lake can be pleasing.
It can be. Here's the problem, though. That cuts off parking and access. Like, it's gorgeous, but it cuts back on different places where you can park. It means more people are going to have to approach from the south, and it's going to make it a logistical nightmare.
But it's not our nightmare.
It's not our nightmare. It's not.
More to it. Hey, let's hope that they continue to clog it up.
And quite frankly, it's more convenient for Detroiters that want to make the road trip because it's 30 minutes closer and probably less traffic from our direction. But I honestly can't believe it. And it's not our problem. But in the reality, it's kind of sad. And I'll say this. If you have interest in buying a team, if you're a tycoon and you want to buy a team as an investment, but you are in danger of doing something like moving a team to Hammond, just don't buy a team. It's not the investment you should be making. It just isn't. Fans have such a deep emotional ownership of a team. If you're a highly successful business person and you are looking to make more money, choose fiber optics or an AI data center or something. Don't buy a team. If moving the team is even on the radar, choose to invest in something else. Don't buy a team. Just don't, because you shouldn't be allowed to do this to fans. And again, it's not us, but it's one of our rival cities. And I have sympathy for fans who've done nothing wrong. And they have one of the great settings in the entire NFL. And they're going to go from that to one of the worst settings in the NFL.
Yes, but it's not like they're moving 5 states away and 1,000 miles away. They're moving 20 miles away, you know, or whatever, 30, whatever it is from downtown Chicago. You know, when I'm looking at the map and I see, I think it's a massive mistake for them. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Right. I think they should build it in Arlington Heights, which is one of the northern suburbs. It's also a heck of a lot closer to O'Hare Airport. It makes sense. To go to Hammond seems dumb, big time dumb. But it's not that far from downtown Chicago. So when you're talking about a ownership that wants to move a team out of the city, again, it's not like moving out. Yes, technically out of state, but it's right at the state border. It's just like the Jets and Giants playing at the Meadowlands.
It feels to me like physically, like first of all, as the crow flies, no, it's not that far, but it feels.
You gotta go through years all of downtown away. Chicago to get
yeah, yeah, it feels a long way away, a lot more than as the crow flies. And as far as the setting, it is a massive step back. And, you know, I went to Soldier Field. We went to the U.S. soccer game against Germany, the friendly. And we'll get into that in a minute. But the sight lines where we were great. The concourse area at Soldier Field, we were in one of the end zones. Was a little bit messed up in that everybody in line for concessions at halftime were in the way of everybody trying to walk sure. through. Like it's a traffic jam, a nightmare, and it probably could use a retrofitting. And I get this is all about suites and money and leases and
it's like any football stadium.
Yeah, but you know they could use some updating in terms of how they move people around and maneuver people around or where the lines go and all that, but as you're right. That's with a lot of football stadiums. It just, I'm sitting in the stadium with a terrible, like, we didn't have good seats. We had a great, like, it was a great seat for a bad seat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and particularly for a sport like soccer,
yep.
You know, it works out.
Anyway, it's such a great location, and it's a real shame. And we're going to wrap up the whole sympathy thing for the Bears and probably go back to making fun of it. But the truth is, if I were there, it would be a local tragedy that was actually something that was strongly being considered. So 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1. We'll get to some of your feedback on this coming up in a second. I will say this, seeing the U.S. men's national team play on Saturday, Gator, I'm so fired up for the World Cup now, and I know it's not for everybody. I don't like telling people what to do, but I encourage you to give this a sample. My whole family loved it. My wife, who didn't play soccer growing up, thought it was great. My kids were just thrilled with the experience. They thought it was fantastic, and look, the goal that Jedi Robinson scored was absolutely amazing, and we were lucky that it happened right in front of us, a volley that was – the keeper had no shot. And it,
no shot, Gator.
No shot at all.
No shot.
None.
And look, after conceding a goal in the first 90 seconds, the atmosphere stayed, as my kids would say, lit. And
it was a fever pitch.
Well done. But it was funny because I don't follow soccer outside of parachuting in on the World Cup. So I was sitting in the stands intently listening to conversations around us. And, you know, I'm like hearing things like, oh, he's a staple of the Aberdeen back line. And I'm like, oh, okay. Is he? One of my favorite conversations. You remember when Germany beat Brazil 7-1?
Who doesn't?
Yeah. I'm like, no, I don't. But tell me more. It was just weird because I knew nothing. Like, I know nothing. I knew the name Christian Pulisic. They introduced the 94 team with, like, Wijnaldum and
right.
Alexi Lalas, and they were out on the field beforehand. I don't know. I mean, it's cool to be a legitimate and true underdog in a sport, which USA almost never is.
I think it's fun when you go to an event like that, particularly for, you know, World Cup stuff, right, soccer stuff, and you see the random, like, Jürgen Schmidt jersey.
Yeah,
I love that. You don't see a Jürgen Schmidt jersey every day, but you go to an event like this, you just might see a Jürgen Schmidt jersey.
And there's a lot of different people are wearing different countries. I looked for a Ratun Machudinkum, yeah. But I did not see one. But I would have sent you a picture had I seen it. But the fact of the matter is, it was really, really cool. And I'm jacked. And, you know, I don't know much about it. Admittedly, I don't. And I don't claim. I played growing up and I was a keeper and still like see the game through the prism of a goalie. And by the way, here's the other thing that you're going to love. Okay. Cause you love when I do things and they fail.
What
you do. It was hot. Okay. Really, really hot. and sunscreen. Everybody get the sunscreen on. And we all did that. And we get there and my wife brought a sweatshirt and I kind of giggled a little bit. And I'm like, okay, you might, you know, you think it's going to cool off. And we get there. And as the game is starting and the sun is out, it starts to rain. And I mean, it really starts to come down. And I can't remember. I think it's been since I was a kid that I was outside, like completely unprepared and no way of seeking shelter, just getting poured on. It started to come down so hard and I'm like freezing and everybody's miserable. My wife's using her sweatshirt and she's, who's laughing now, right? I can't remember the last time I was outside getting rained on and I couldn't seek shelter or I was completely unprepared. I felt like, God, I feel like a kid because that's the last time I think it happened to me. There was just no, you know, when kids, you go outside, you're playing in the rain, you don't care.
No, and when it's 85 degrees, you'll love it.
But it was cold, man. And then the sun came out and you had that weird post-rain drying from the sun and then your clothes are kind of crispy or whatever, but still damp and
everyone smells like a dog.
Yeah. Which was funny, man. But anyway, I'm fired up for this event. And between that and the College World Series, it's a good week for Doug. I love the event in Omaha too. Do you think you will watch any? Be honest.
Of the College World Series?
No, of Team USA, of the World Cup.
I mean, maybe. Depends what time. Depends what's on, honestly. I mean, I'll probably flip through, you know, where they're playing and all that. I don't know. We'll see.
We play Portugal Friday night at 9.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about Friday night. I don't know. Maybe I got look at my calendar, see what I got going on.
I think you're washing your hair that night.
Well, a Tiger game will probably be wrapping up, right?
So this Friday, the 12th?
Yeah.
Yeah, what are the Tigers doing?
They're in Cleveland, right?
They will be Cleveland, yeah. Let's see, Cleveland Friday night. Yeah, it's Jack Flaherty start. I don't know.
There's no...
Tanner Bibee.
There's no Stanley Cup game. There's no NBA game. Ken, you think you'll flip it on?
No.
At all.
It's not even... It would not hold your attention, Gator. You know this. Like, it...
Wait, let's say when I flip it on, it doesn't mean I'd leave it on. I mean, could I... Would I want to see the atmosphere a little bit? I might. You know, it's night game sounds kind of cool.
I don't know.
Where are they playing?
I think they're playing... Is it SoFi? Hold on.
That's not even night then.
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, if it's a 9 o'clock start, I assume it's on the West Coast, but...
California crowds.
Does it really matter if it's a night game for you, Gator? Stop saying, like, seriously. Well, it's a night game. Well,
it's kind of like, cool when you see things under the lights. I'm just saying.
Sure.
It is at SoFi against Paraguay, 9 o'clock.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't have a ton of interest in it. So I'm not making any promises.
Okay. And I'm not going to judge you whether you do or you don't. I'm not going to judge anybody.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. No, not at all, dude. Like I say this all the time and I mean it. People can choose to do what they want. Be a fan of what you want to be a fan of. I'm encouraging people to sample this because I think they might enjoy it more so.
Look, I enjoyed than they believe. It. I enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it in the past to a degree, you know, but our teams just haven't been all that competitive. So, you know, I guess you go into it thinking, okay, you're the underdog in most games. All right, well, okay, there's a rooting interest. But I don't know the players. I haven't paid a lick of attention to it. You know, back in the day with Alexei Lawless, did I pay attention? Yeah, because he was a local guy. And a guy that I probably played against when I was a kid.
I think I might have too, because was he Sterling Height?
No, I think he was Birmingham.
Birmingham, okay.
So, yeah, I think I played against him when I was a kid, when I was playing soccer, because we're all the same age. But... over the years, just haven't the interest certainly hasn't kept up. I'll tell you when I was fired up. I was fired up to watch the women play.
Yeah,
when they won the cup in 1998, was it summer 98?
It's really interesting because what appeals to me and what appeals to you are completely different. You are less interested because we haven't been competitive, but you watch the women who are often the favorite. I am more interested because I want to see us as an underdog. Anything we do feels like icing on the cake. Like it's
was 1990. Was it the first time that they had a women's World Cup? Brandi Chastain scored and, you know, ripped the jersey off and sports bra and a whole bit. But I mean, that was an event. I mean, I watched that summer and I was actually fired up for it. That was pretty cool. And yeah, since they've had women's World Cup soccer, the United States has reigned supreme. It's been fun. But the men just haven't been all that competitive.
So in our group, okay, is Paraguay, who we play on Friday night, Australia, and Turkey. We are the highest rated team in our group. So while we're an underdog on the grand stage, we got a good chance to get out of group stage and get into the playoffs, which is more exciting, one and done. But I don't think you're all that impressed. Feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox. I lived in Chicago.
Well, if they beat Turkey,
yeah,
then I'll be impressed.
I lived in Chicago for 20 years. I passed through Hammond many times, and it's a dump, respectfully.
Oh.
Next text. I lived in Northwest Indiana for about 10 years, and Hammond is the perfect location. It will make getting to and from the game so much easier, and it will revitalize that city. Going to a game at Soldier Field is brutal, and even with the added level of seating, the sight lines were awful. So I thought the sight lines were great for soccer this weekend. To be fair, it might be different for a Bears game. We had 300 level bad seats in the grand scheme of things, but they were good for bad seats. Like, I was like, these seats are fine. The NFL doesn't need a destination. They need room for fan experiences, tailgates, supporting businesses like hotels. That's what Hammond can provide that the city of Chicago simply refuses to specifically tailgating and experience lots. The Lions are barely scraping by with Eastern Market and a few parking lots.
Well, but the Lions sell out. Soldier Field sells out. Selling tickets isn't the problem. Getting people, I guess, now you're concerned about supporting the surrounding areas. I mean, Eastern Market isn't the only thing. I mean, people tailgate all over downtown Detroit.
Is this person saying they prefer a Silverdome atmosphere with massive parking lots because people could tailgate there? Whereas, which by the way, had zero personality. In downtown Detroit, there's lots everywhere. People can find their spot and tailgate. I don't know. I think Detroit's way better to tailgate in than the Silverdome ever was.
What are we comparing this to? Like Buffalo, where, you know, the crazy Bills Mafia out in the parking lot doing the crazy stuff. Look, I mean, it's a concrete jungle. That's no fun.
I think there's nothing worse than a concrete jungle.
Be curious to see what they say about the new stadium in Buffalo. I don't know if it's the same situation.
It's right next door.
It's very similar then. I think it's actually one of the cool things about Detroit is that you're not just tied to a parking lot. You know, there are lots all over the place. Now, does it restrict tailgating for professional games? A little bit, sure. I mean, the tailgating is done at Eastern Market. But instead of tailgating, what you do is you go to a bar and hang out at a bar all morning.
All right. An insider is predicting a holdout from one of our guys. We'll get to that today at 11:35. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1. Some Scooble Buzz coming up at noon. Another edition. Are you going to eat that at 12:35? It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1. Hope everybody's doing well on this Tuesday. 248-539-9797. Okay, so look, we're in that weird void, you know, post-OTAs, pre-training camp. Nobody's really locked into a football mood unless you're football year-round, which is fine, but you know how it gets when you move through the summer and you start to, like, the days start to get maybe a little bit shorter or the weather cools off and you start to realize that football's right around the corner. At least, you know, things like media days and college football and, hey, next week are OTAs and you get announcements coming out about how you get your passes to go to training camp and all that stuff. It's still like a month off, yeah. A month and a half off.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, look, summers in Michigan are great. Don't wish them away. But one of the great things about the end of summer is it's the beginning of football, and this is such a great football state. But with that said, interesting from Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, recently on a podcast, was talking about how the Lions have not signed Jahmyr Gibbs. And here's what he had to say about it.
He's under contract, so I disagree with that statement.
Well, people hold out.
Yeah, and I hate when people hold out because you're under contract. You honor the contract that you're playing under at this point. I don't think there is any danger of the Lions failing to get a deal done with Jahmyr Gibbs. I think it's just a blinking contest who's going to sign a deal first, Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs. They're both going to sign with the respective teams, and giving advice to not participate while he's still technically under contract for the next year. Yeah, I have an issue with that.
So the highest cap hit of a running back in the NFL right now is Jonathan Taylor at $15.562 million. Now, when it comes to cap hit or the average annual value, things can be a little bit manipulated. Does he have to make north of 20?
I think yes.
It feels like a pretty big jump.
Well, I would say yes, absolutely, because first of all, I've always stuck up for the running backs because I think running backs are woefully underpaid for what they do. And when you look at the production you get from Jahmyr Gibbs as a runner and receiver, this is a guy who's 2,000 yards from scrimmage. Pay him like he's a 2,000-yard guy, which means, yes, it needs to be a two. Lucky so there's not a three in front of it.
There's workarounds because Saquon Barkley signed a two-year, $41.2 million contract, okay? Mm-hmm. His cap hit, though, is the highest it will be is in two seasons when it's 17.364. So you can work around sort of the cap hit value with the way you structure said contract and voidable years. He's got one, two, three, four voidable years on the end of this thing. So, I mean, you got to structure it in such a way that it takes up the least amount of cap room as possible, but also make the client happy. There are reports, and it has been discussed, and it's no shock when David Montgomery was let go, that Jahmyr Gibbs is going to get a larger workload moving forward. And there is something to be said. We talk about the data with edge rushers all the time. There's something to be said for the number of carries, the number of hits that running backs can typically take before there is start to have, you know, the quality of return on said running back starts to decline. That there's a shelf life for running backs.
Yeah, without question. And if I were the Lions and want to get something done quickly, I'd offer something somewhere in the range of at 20 a year. 4 years and give him like $80, $85 million, somewhere in there.
Is there a world where the Lions make the business decision not to sign him or not offer him a contract and just franchise him?
I don't think so. I mean, you could, but because he's under contract for this upcoming season and next year, right? This is the fourth year. Yep. So, I mean, they don't have to do anything until
club option
five.
For next year.
So I'm not sure. I mean, look, I don't know what the cap situation is with this team, and cap is manipulated like crazy.
Yep.
It goes up every year. They know they have a way firmer grip on what's going on there than I would. I typically would lean towards I'll wait and see, particularly the running back, because they do get hurt. Because guys are literally trying to take out their legs at every chance they get. So the injury rate is huge, and the risk is massive. So I'm not likely, me personally, I'm not likely to give him a contract right now. I'd wait till the end of the year.
Yeah.
And it might cost you more. You know, let's say that Bijan Robinson signs his deal now, and then I know I'm going to have to pay, I'm going to have to beat that contract at the end of the year.
Kang, what do you make of this advice from Florio that he should hold out?
Yeah, well, Florio's looking at it from the player perspective, and I totally understand that. I mean, football is a violent game. Your career can end at any moment. With that being said, I think the Lions, just judging by what they've done historically, they like to get ahead of these things. I would not be shocked at all if they were able to get a deal done before the season started because they are so progressive. And, you know, Brad Holmes always talking about sustainability and keeping one eye on the future. I think this is part of that. Like, his next contract is going to It's going to be 20 plus million a year. It just is. And he's not Jack Campbell. Like what Jack Campbell did, honestly, is like one in a million type thing. No guy walks into a room and says, just pay me near the top. Most guys go walk in a room and go, pay me the top, you know? And Jahmyr Gibbs has that argument. He has that resume. He has all the ammunition he needs to say, I should be the highest paid running back in the league. And I think when the contract's done, he will be the highest paid running back in the league until Bijan Robinson or somebody else beats it. I mean, Achane and Breece Hall just signed $15, $16 million per year deals. There's no way Jameer Gibbs is in. He's ahead of those guys.
Absolutely.
He's going to get 20 plus a year. Jeremiah Love is at $13 million. He hasn't taken a handoff yet. So I think Gibbs wants to get paid. I think the Lions want to get him paid. Whoever gets paid second is going to get paid more between Bijan and Jameer. I think there's a possibility the deal gets done before the season starts. And now if it doesn't, that'll be more, I agree with you, Gator. If I'm from a team perspective, I would prefer that just to see where I'm at the end of the year, but you might have to pay up even more.
I'm a fan of Jameer Gibbs being re-signed. Let me be clear about that. I'm also a fan with there's some team outs where they can get out from under the contract if there starts to be diminishing returns. And unfortunately, that's just the life of a running back in the NFL, especially one that's going to have a heavy workload. I'm a big fan of shorter term. If that comes with higher guaranteed average annual value, so be it. But, you know, that's just the profession of running back is a tough one to get that second contract. I mean, maybe people get it, but I feel like there's a lot of instances where people regret it because of the diminishing returns and the shelf life of a running back in the NFL. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1. You know, I know that we broadcast across the state with the new network thing. I wonder if we have any listeners out there in the Grand Rapids area that were at LMCU Ballpark in Comstock for Scoobles outing on Sunday. Did anybody in our audience go to that game? And I'd like to know what it was like. Now, you've been to West Michigan Whitecap games, correct?
No, I haven't.
You've never been there. Mm-hmm. Okay. You've been to the Lansing Lugnuts
games. I've been to the Lansing. Yeah, I was at Oldsmobile Park back in the day, like the first year it opened up.
Yep. Toledo Mudhens.
I've been to both stadiums.
Yep. Kang, have you ever been to the minor league stadiums around the state?
No, I have not.
Okay. So I've probably been to three or four Lugnut games. I don't really have a point of reference. But again, if anybody is a regular there, I wonder what it was like on Scoobal night or Scoobal day relative to any other game there. Was it the most wild atmosphere? Was it awesome? Was it way, way, way different? And I'm sure it was different than your average game, but I guess was it the best atmosphere ever for a Whitecaps game? Or, I mean, you know, you get into those communities, whether a championship series or, because, like, it's one thing to go, I went to a Whitecaps game and saw Max Clark play, right? And I'm like, oh, this is cool. But there was another, I'm trying to remember who I went and saw there back in the day. You get these opportunities to see the draftable players, and it's fun that they're close by. Like, I actually am going to a Mudhens game next month, and it, again, will be a chance to see Max Clark play. But I bet it was cool. I bet it was really cool for anybody up there.
Yeah, it's got to be a treat. I mean, it's one thing to see them play. Those kids get brought up through the system and you watch them play as a high A player and
right.
Matriculate to the major leagues. It's another thing when they got to come back because of a rehab assignment. You're like, let me see how this guy's grown, right? I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. you're probably watching Tiger baseball anyway. But if you're not, if you haven't seen Tarek Skubal live since he was a 22-year-old at West Michigan or whatever, that's kind of cool to see how much he's matured and how much better he is.
And the rehabilitation appearance, it doesn't happen in any other sport.
No, I was thinking, does it happen in the NHL? And it really doesn't.
Like Jared Goff isn't going to make an appearance for...
Well, football, yeah, there's no other football at the time, but... NBA players, I don't think they go to the G League to rehab and play a couple games.
Kang, have you ever hear of that happening?
No.
And to take like the best pitcher in the game and not only put him on a field with minor leaguers, just put him in that atmosphere. you know, to put him in the small ballpark, big star. It feels like seeing a band, you know, seeing U2 at Rick's.
Well, you're right. I mean,
warming up before they get out back on tour. You know what I mean? Hey, I still got it. Yeah. These streets have no names.
I mean, that was a big deal back in the early 80s, right? You two played downstairs at Sensations.
But I'm talking about before, like after they've made it big.
Oh, after they made it.
Yeah, this is
like a warm up, dude.
That was Max Clark when U2 was at Sensations. That was Max Clark on his way up. We're talking about now, where else does this happen where the big star goes back to the small venue?
Yeah, like DiCaprio does like a high school play before he does his next, you know, Titanic 2 or whatever.
Metallica did something like that years ago when they had their shows, outdoor venue, where they had, they were downtown somewhere, and it was like Metal Fest or something like that. They were going to play in the big stage at some point, but earlier in the day, they decided to play as like a cover band at one of the smaller stages. And it was, people said it was wild to see that. It's kind of similar to that.
But I did think of one place where this does happen, and we're not really down with the culture, but it does happen in auto racing. Do you remember that tragedy with Tony Stewart on a dirt track where he hit a guy and killed him?
Yeah, vaguely I do.
I mean, that's a NASCAR driver showing up at a dirt track, and that happens in that sport. And it's Tony Stewart, I guess, did it a lot. But I think some other drivers do that. In fact, I feel like my brother-in-law might have just saw somebody big up in Owosso, or a bigger name in Owosso. So I guess it does happen in auto racing a little bit here and there. But again, we're not really down with that culture.
I mean, in golf it happens, but you have to fall off the tour and try to build yourself back up.
Is it Corn Ferry? Is that the Corn Ferry Tour?
It was. I mean, you would have to do that kind of thing, but it's not the same thing as like, hey, Scottie Scheffler is playing this little event.
Right. 248-539-9797. Anyway, if anybody was there for that Scooble start in Comstock at LMCU Ballpark for the Whitecaps, love to hear what it was like. Let's go to Ken. You're on 97.1. Hello, Ken.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Great show. Yep. I would say the closest analogy, and I've actually seen this personally, is when big act comedians are getting ready for a big tour, they'll go to small comedy clubs like the Laugh Factory or Caroline's is gone now in New York, and they'll practice before they go on a stadium tour. So,
you know, you're 100% right. I've only been to a couple comedy shows in my life, and one of them was the first time I went out to L.A. to see my friend out there. We went to a comedy show, and all these unknown comics are up there, and they say, hey, we got a treat for you. George Wallace has decided to stop by.
Steve Martin's walking out or something crazy like that. Yeah, I've done that.
This is kind of wild. Okay, I'm not a big George Wallace comedian fan, but okay, let's see. And it was cool trying out material, and he letting everybody know, hey, I'm just trying stuff out. You know, we'll see stuff hits.
And they all do it. Seinfeld did. I've heard Seinfeld on like Stern talk about it.
Yeah.
Going out and practicing his act. So it's really hard, though, for, like you said, Doug, for golf to try to go find a small little game somewhere to work on his craft. So, but that's a whole other thing, man. We got to talk about feeder for the NFL. I've called before, and it's really a joke that this multi-billion-dollar organization still relies on the NCAA to feed their system and develop their players. And now with NIL, I mean, back in the day, a quarterback might stay in a program 4 or 5 years sometimes. Now you get guys who've been in school 3 years, they've been in 3 different programs.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's some reforms likely on the way. It's a sport that, and given the Sorsby case that just went down, that's a whole other can of worms. But I think there's reform coming. 248-539-9797. Bunch of Jahmyr Gibbs texts coming in regarding the Florio comments. And this is from an unnamed texter. Respectfully, screw Florio. He's rooting for turmoil so he can be a sanctimonious preacher.
Oh, my.
Look, we're big fans here of dissenting opinions. You don't need to attack the source, though.
He is a Vikings fan, though, isn't he?
Who?
Florio?
Is he?
Yeah, he's like a huge Vikings fan. Maybe he just wants the Lions to be in some like turmoil, like the Tech said.
Have you seen Florio as a guy that has got an agenda through the years?
Yes.
Oh, you do.
Okay, I've got an agenda, man.
But can you give me examples?
every time he's on Sunday Night Football. I don't know. No, I mean, I just... I can't give it a specific one right now, but people have called him out on certain things before, and I feel like...
He gets hot takes.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Well, that I might agree with.
And then might just be getting his name out there again.
Yeah, it's getting clicks and promoting his brand, and it's business.
Well, I guess that's hot takey, yes. Lions can't get an O-line good enough to have an effective Gibbs if they pay him that much. Lions can't get an O-line good enough to have an effective Gibbs. Aren't pretty much, outside of Borum, who may be a starter, isn't everybody kind of locked up for a while here? Between Sewell, Ratledge, Mahogany, Mays, Blake Miller. Yeah, I think that they've got the offensive line kind of locked up here.
They got a lot of backups there,
Lions should not sign Jahmyr Gibbs. Run him into the ground and let him walk. Maybe franchise him next year.
Well, you wouldn't have to franchise
him. No, he's under contract next year. He'd be franchised.
Just pick up the fifth year, yeah.
Holding out after year three as a first-round pick is kind of unprecedented, but we still have to pay Gibbs. Those who say use the fifth option and then two franchise tags don't understand how the NFL works.
Well, you can pick up the fifth-year option, and you can franchise him for a year. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the second-year franchise, that's where it gets pricey, and you're thinking, well, maybe we should have just saved cost, and we should have signed him to an extension back when we could have.
All right, coming up next, ESPN put together a bunch of trade proposals from teams to get Scooble. One of them was considered the best of the bunch. We'll get to those today at 12:02 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1.